Morning, Barcelona. It's a beautiful Friday morning right after the new year, or a little bit into the new year already, 2015. You're listening to Blueprint Coaching on English Radio. I'm Sam, and before we move on at all, I just want to thank our sponsors, Anglo Info, all you ever need to know for living in Barcelona in English. Anything English related, go to Anglo Info. They reach over 50,000 unique visitors every month, which is quite astounding. So we have a wonderful show lined up today. I am pleased to be joined by Xavier Cartagena, who works as the marketing manager for a chemical multinational company and as a marketing specialist teacher for the Universidad de Barcelona and the United International Business School, UIBS. I actually was lucky enough to take a class with Xavier a couple years ago, and it was, I have to say, I've had many teachers in my lifetime, but he was one of the best. Good morning, Xavier, on that note.
Good morning, Sam. And first of all, I would like to wish you the New Year's Day as well for you. And also, thanks for the invitation for your program. It was really a pleasure to me to come to you today.
No, we're pleased to have you. It's funny because a couple of years ago, when I took your marketing class, you said, you know, you should do an English radio show. You just had the idea that an English radio show in the city would be very beneficial.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are a couple of years later.
I am really, really glad to see here you, because also I think, in fact, as you mentioned before, a couple of years ago that we had the chance to meet each other, I was very impressed by you at that time. And also I was completely sure that it would be a very great opportunity if it was the chance to have this kind of program like it is today. So thanks for you, and also congratulations for your job as well. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Such flattering words as we head into 2015. Let's hope you're still as flattering at the end of the show.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Well, like I said, so, you know, you work for a multinational company, and you also are a marketing specialist. And I thought that today would be really interesting to discuss the connection between marketing and communication.
Right. Correct.
Because communication especially is something that is incredibly important in our personal lives and our professional lives. And I wanted to read you a quote that I read in Forbes magazine recently, and just give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And it says, "It is simply impossible to become a great leader without being a great communicator." It's the subtle elements of communication rarely taught in the classroom, which leaders desperately need to learn. So examine the world's greatest leaders, and you'll find them all to be exceptional communicators. They might talk about their ideas, but they do so in a way which also speaks to your emotions and your aspirations.
Absolutely agree. So in fact, I think that is perfectly well described, but I am absolutely okay with that expression. Because, in fact, even maybe you know this Dale Carnegie Foundation. Dale Carnegie was one of the most important communicators in the world.
Dale Carnegie.
Mm-hmm. Dale Carnegie. Also, is very well known in the business. In fact, but it's not only related to the business. And he said that 85% of the success in the normal life from the people is mainly due to communication skills in the normal life and also in the business life. So that means that most of the people, they really have poor communication skills, and sometimes they are missing to forward what's the message that they are trying to give. Maybe are very good people, very good knowledge from other topics, but this kind of communication sometimes it makes the difference. And in that respect, I think that I fully agree with that sentence that you quoted today.
Well, so then let's talk about that for a little bit, and then we can connect this to marketing as we go on. But so you say 85% of people are not great communicators.
No, maybe 85% of the success of your life is due to these communications.
Right. Okay, and then you said, no, that was my bad. But then you said most people are poor communicators.
Correct.
What are these most people missing? Like, if you had to pinpoint one area, what is not happening in the world of communication?
Yeah. So, in fact, well, you know, when we are talking about communications, we can talk about many, many different issues, right? But in my opinion, because at the end of the day, we are talking about opinions always, and then maybe if you check with other, maybe they can also bring other topics into the table. But in my opinion, for example, I think that one of the most important mistakes that the people do when we are talking about communications is about listening, right? So, you know, the communication is an exchange of information between two people or two or more people, in fact. And then I would say that in the normal conditions, the people likes to talk, but sometimes the people, they don't realize about listening. And then, okay, you can also talk, you can also express your opinions, your sentiment, as soon as you have also listened to others. So for me, one of the important mistakes is not listening to the others in that respect, because as soon as you are, in fact, also is a, sometimes it's a tricky, because if you know what the others are trying to tell you or are trying to forward you, you are in a much more better position, because you know what others are thinking, and then you can also instruct your answer accordingly. If you are not listening, that is most of the cases, what's the real life, it happens with the people, you are expressing your words without knowledge what's the important for the other part.
So why do you think people don't listen well? Because it's completely true. I think listening is, especially, you know, personal life, private life, any...
Yeah, absolutely.
It goes across the board, but I think listening is something that the majority of people don't do well. Why is that?
Well, it's really a big important question, because sometimes I thought that people, they really talk as a defensive part in certain cases. No? In fact, for example, one of the points that is also we talk when we talk about communications and one of the, I would say, mistakes or normal attitudes from people is to be feel judged. So sometimes when you are doing judged by the others. Exactly. Sorry, because sometimes some words are not exactly correct.
I can't say anything about your accent if you've heard me
sorry
speak
for
Spanish.
That,
it's horrible.
But in that respect, sometimes it happens. The people, when they are trying to talk, sometimes they are making this this three thing about they feel judged about for others, and then people thought that if they are speaking and talking, they are trying to minimize the risk from others that they attack them or accuse someone or whatsoever, and sometimes it's a mistake.
So it's sort of like if you keep talking, then there's no room for anyone to say anything to you.
Exactly.
You're so protecting yourself.
Exactly. In my opinion, it's one of the main reasons about that. And then, in fact, if you see most of the good communicators in speeches or also in the one-to-one, face-to-face, I mean, there are people who is really attending what you say. And then for that reason, they are also trying to forward. This is one of the most important issues, listening to the others and try to be to take interest what you are saying, to take interest what you are explaining to the others. That also gives you much more reward when you are talking forward that message in the other way around. Yeah?
Well, I have to say the people who have listened to me in my life and later on have brought something up that I mentioned, it could be a week ago, a month ago, it's really caught me off guard, and I've remembered them. They've made a definite impact on me. So it's a great way to sort of differentiate yourself from other people, and all you have to really do is listen.
Exactly. So, in fact, you mentioned in the initial part of the, when we started that conversation about the marketing and communication, and in my opinion, one of the points that then make a good differentiation people in marketing is that ability to listen to the others. As you said, I am in my business life. I am working, as you said, in a company, and then I am constantly meeting customers, people, and so on. And then they told me sometimes that then they remember or they remind certain people from companies or certain business people based on his communication skills. And the most common mention is about the capacity to listen to others, and that makes a good differentiation from the others. And then I thought when the customers explained me that issue is that the normal people, the most of them, the others, they are only talking and talking. And sometimes the key point is in the other way around. Listen what they said.
It is. People are scared of silence for some reason. I mean, on the radio, I'm always scared of silence because then it's dead air.
Absolutely.
However, in the real world, when you're not on air, people are scared of silence. And I also have a background in public speaking. And one of the biggest things that they taught me was to pause. When you're in the middle of the speech, sometimes just pause and don't say anything, because you really get people's attention. And
exactly.
I think you can probably do that in everyday conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. So in fact, it is well known in the, let's say, from the academic point of view, is a so-called the power of silence. So in fact, this is one of the typical rules that is teach, and also you can learn about that, and it's very, very useful to do it. So even from your personal point of view, in fact, if you are in your day-to-day life at home or with your couple or with whatever, if you use the power of silence, sometimes it's very, very, very well appreciated by the others. And then sometimes they don't know if you listen or not listen, but you are using this power of silence to avoid certain things that maybe should be not good for you. But in the business life, it happens as well. So it is certain tricks that are used, especially in the commercial people, in the purchasing people. They use such a kind of tricks about the silence. And then as soon as you are using the silence, you immediately have certain rewards from the people who is talking to you.
Like what? Like, have you ever used silence to get what you want?
Yeah, for example, I am trying to use, for example, in the typical negotiations skills. Yeah? For example, in my business life, I am normally dealing with customers. And then one of the parts of my job is try to have certain contracts or negotiations, trying to sell something to the companies, right? And then it is very well known that in the sales negotiation game, sometimes, well, there are certain buyer and certain seller pairs that one is trying to sell to someone else, to the other, or something to the other. And of course, behind a price or behind a sales price, there are certain packs of things that, and it is perfectly assumed that the buyer, by itself, he will try to be always to be rewarded with a better price. And you as a seller, you will try to have the higher price in the same thing that you're trying to sell. If, for example, you are making some offer for something to the buyer, and immediately the buyer is doing this kind of power of silence, you always feel nervous. You always feel that maybe your offer is so high in price, maybe it's much higher than the buyer was expecting.
You start negotiating against yourself sometimes.
Exactly. And then you feel that maybe you do some reduction on price in order to attract. And he was only playing, because maybe your first price was okay for him. But only trying to play this power of silence trick, of power of silence rule, automatically you have certain reward or certain discount, 1% discount or 2% discount for nothing. So you know, in the negotiation game, you have always to have certain curtain type from others. So I am giving you something, and then in the change you have to also reward me with something. In the power of silence is a reward for nothing. It's only to be silent.
So what advice would you give to someone who is afraid of that silence?
Yeah.
Because it's easier said than done. Pretty much you just have to not speak. Just
Absolutely.
Keep your mouth shut. But there's always that urge to sort of to keep saying something.
It's funny. It's funny because, well, in fact, in the normal sales day-to-day life of a good salesman is also, from one side, is a trick for the buyers to do this power of silence. But on the other hand, from the sales people, they are also doing the same. So if they are teach in the same structure, you will have a good match, because you are presenting an offer. And then, for example, I am in my normal business teaching activities in the university and so on. I am sometimes playing such a kind of courses as communications, and especially for salespeople. And also we do this kind of practice in class. And then I am always giving the same message to them. After your first offer, or after you present an offer for something, wait for their words. Not be the first to do some comments. Because as soon as you are changing the rule, for example, you are presenting an offer, you are presenting some special pack to your buyer, wait for the buyer's opinion.
Because if you change it, you're showing them, A, that perhaps you're not 100% behind your first offer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the rationalize behind this attitude. And then if you are waiting what they are saying, maybe they will sell, maybe your offer is higher, maybe you have a better price from the concurrence, maybe it's not what they are worth looking for, or maybe, well, that's nice. But as soon as it was regarding what they mentioned initially, when I mentioned that for me the best important thing is listening, when you listen what the other party is telling to you, you know what's the main, into brackets, pain from his part, with the main problem they had. If he said, well, your offer looks interesting, but maybe we can discuss about that. Okay, you feel that they are interested in your offer. So that means that at the set moment, you are driving the car. If they are selling, well, your price is not interesting because I have a better offer from a competition or whatsoever, okay, you know, maybe that should be your turn to talk about, well, but your competition is offering the same that I am offering you. The price is so high, it's very, very high. So you are also driving the conversation.
It's true. You need to really listen so that you can get the key messages and then sort of dictate your tactic and your strategy
exactly from
that. I think many times, and people often say this when they're talking to other people, that they feel they've already made up the answer, or they have the next thing that they want to say in their head before the other person's finished speaking.
Right.
And I think that comes with lack of listening. And sometimes mm-hmm. we think we know what we want to say, but if we really hear the other side,
exactly.
then it will help us. And so I want to know how this connects to marketing, as we discussed. But let's go to a song, and then you can think about that
okay.
before we come back.
Thank you very much.
That is Love Runs Out by One Republic on this 2015. I can't believe we're in 2015. I'm with Xavier Cartagena, who works for multinational companies, a man who wears many hats, and he is a marketing specialist teacher at the University of Barcelona and the United International Business School. And he's been giving us some great tips this morning about the power of silence, communication. And before we continue with that, Xavier, I just wanted to ask, any New Year's resolutions for 2015?
Well, you know, the New Year's targets for me this year, well, should be, well, I have, as you said, I have many hurts. And then, well, from a business point of view, of course, I have certain goals that I have to achieve. You know that our day-to-day is based on goals, is based on objectives that we have to follow. And every time becomes more and more competitive that will. And then in my case, I am... As you said, I am responsible for a marketing and department in a company. And then I am at the moment covering as also Europe countries and then certain parts of Middle East and Africa. And, you know, this is a real difficult area in terms of viability, economic viability. Yeah? So that's famous crisis that we have been suffering since last year. Of course, that makes also some big calls for us. But I have to give also some positive points on that. I think that the previous years were so more difficult than today, and then I feel that we are in a good prospect, in a good road. Of course, it will take time, but especially in my case, that I am quite constantly traveling to countries like Italy or like Turkey or like Israel or like other countries. I saw many good and progress and on those parts, and then I am quite confident that this 2015 that we have already started now. Should be also in a good prospect. From my other activities like teaching or things like this, well, I suppose that I will continue with my normal activities, teaching activities in the schools that I am running today. And then also for me is like a new adventure, because every time I am facing new students, new people that. In my case, as a driver from this kind of courses, as a teacher or whatsoever, I am always in a very good position because I also have the chance to learn from them. So for me, every group that I have, especially with the, well, not only young people, also middle-aged people and also senior people, I am always saying the same, and maybe you remember when I met you in the class a couple of years ago. One of my first speeches in the first class, I said I am very proud to be here on the class. And one of the key advantages from the professor or from the teacher is trying to have this chance to meet new people and to learn from others. So the teacher and the students at the end of the day is a group that by coincidence the teacher is leading the class, but the students are also a very important part of the class. Without the students, there is no class. And then so sometimes certain teachers, they forget that.
Well, I was going to say that stood out in you, and I think that's why I enjoyed the class so much, because you appreciated the
Absolutely.
Reciprocal nature of what...
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea what I could have possibly taught you.
No, you have a lot of things that I can learn from you and from others students, because, and especially today, and when we are facing young people, I'm in the middle age range, but when I face young people, and then, of course, they are much more experienced, they have a much more knowledge from certain areas that I don't have. And in that case, I have plenty of opportunities to learn from others. And then in that sense, also my classes, I have trying to be always in that respect, trying to be very interactive, trying to be, we are all together for 1 hour or for 2 hours or for 3 hours, that we have very nice opportunities to exchange information, to learn one of each other. And in my case also, I have very points, big points to learn, especially from young people. Yeah.
Well, what would you say is the most challenging part? And there's obviously something in my throat. A most challenging part about teaching?
For me, it's clear. So teaching for me is interaction. Of course, it's logical that, as I mentioned, in a class there are students and there are a professor or a teacher or someone who, in principle, knows a little bit more or sometimes much more than others. And, of course, the students that they are coming to those classes, in theory or in principle, they have a certain interest for the content that should be run in that class. That's the basic, and that's okay for the teacher and the students. But in certain cases, if there is no interaction between both sides, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, if the teacher also they don't realize that the class without the students is not a class. And sometimes, for example, unfortunately, In my life, I met very good teachers, but also I met not so really good teachers. And then one of the typical issues that I face from other teachers is that sometimes teachers, they feel that they are alone in class. They are absolutely superb. They are the master classes. And the audience, they don't realize that.
Well, it's because they're not trying to engage the students.
Exactly. Well, they are trying to feel alone on class. And then the students feel separately. Yeah?
No, you were very engaging in our class. I really enjoyed it. And I took that class because I wanted to learn more about marketing. I'd never mm-hmm. taken a class like that before. But in general, I don't call myself a book type of person just because I don't love the classroom.
Yeah.
However, you made it very engaging, and so it was wonderful.
Yeah, for me, it's the most important part as a teacher, trying to engage, as you said. It was a good word for that, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about marketing, because that was the class, and you said, you know, there is a connection between communication and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see that connection unfolding?
Yeah, well, this is also not a real long history, but there are certain things that also I would like also to have some minutes to explain about that, because you know, marketing is a real a science in a certain way that it runs how we as a consumers from things we are trying to run to buy something. That's at the end of the day. So in fact, marketing is a very easy science, as I mentioned, or part of a course that is trying to match demand and offer at the end of the day, and trying to jump as much efficiently as effectively possible buyers and sellers. That's the final goal of marketing, right? But it has been not always like this. In fact, the marketing many years ago, hundreds of years ago, maybe. It was not really necessary at the moment, because at that time, I am always telling that the marketing is a consequence of the balance between the demand and offer. If in a certain scenario there is a much more demand than an offer, in that respect demand than offer. In that scenario, it's not really a need for marketing, because as soon as you are able to offer something,
people
the rest
want
of
it.
Exactly, people they want it, and people they will take it. So in that respect, that's not an easy part for marketing, even if it's not necessary. So in fact, if we are facing most of the business evolution in the countries of the world, they are always following the same sequence. So there is a big demand with a low offer, as a consequence of that, the demand started to be equally to the offer, because it's a logical consequence. As soon as, if there is only one who is offering something, most probably it should be another one, and another one, and another one.
So with increased competition,
exactly,
comes the need
exactly,
for more marketing.
Exactly. So demand starts to be equal to the offer. Even in that scenario, I would say that marketing is not really needed, but because it's much more a sales force or a sales activity leading more and more than marketing. But as soon as demand started to be lower than offer, that it was what happened maybe 30 years ago or something like this, depending country by country, of course, right? But for example, here in Spain, we face this this scenario maybe around early 80s, end of 70s, early 80s. At that moment, it was when the companies, they started to phase out that the marketing effort, meaning something that was promoting the product that they were trying to offer, it was necessary. From an academic point of view, maybe you heard because you were running this kind of marketing, but maybe people in the audience also, they realize that there are many people talking about the famous 4 P's in marketing, the product, the place, and the price, and the promotion. That was a very, very famous variables that it was always run in marketing. That was the typical activities that it was run maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Because does that still apply today?
Yes, but today is not the most important part. Because, as I mentioned before, the demand that it happened maybe, talking about Spain, maybe 30, 40 years ago, at that time, this demand started to be a little bit lower than the offer, and the people who was offering something, they will try, or they tried at that time to make attraction to the audience based on the product that they were selling. And then all of us, we were trying to buy the same products. It was no problem if you are buying the same thing that I was buying, because we were impressed by the offer that the companies were trying. That was based in these famous 4 P's, a good product, in a good price, in a good promotion, in a good place. And then it started to be a good thing today. But today, or maybe 10 years ago, what happened there, in fact? All of us, I would say that we have all our basic needs completely covered. So if you said that if we need something, I would say that this is not a real nothing that we need. So we are trying to increase or to make much more leverage our quality of life, but not the basic needs. So in that respect, the demand from certain products is much lower than the offer.
So then what would you say is the most important thing? Because I said, you know, the 4 P's isn't the most important thing today. What is the most important thing?
The most important thing today is the customer. So in fact, the world from the 4 P's in the marketing, they move on to the customer care. In fact, all of us today, we feel as a real different people, different consumers. Eh? When we are talking about the famous B2C, you know, the B2C in the academic world is called about business to consumer, a company who is selling something to consumer. Every consumer is different. Everyone has different needs, different wishes, different something. And in the B2B market, in the business to business, in the industrial market, it's always the same. So everyone is trying to be segmented. They're trying to be different from others, trying to approach different consumers. So that creates that the demand in those markets are much lower than the offer. So that means that the companies, in order to be selected when someone needs to have something, is as soon as you are much more approached or are much more close to the customer, to the final customer, you should be much more chances to be selected. If you were only using the famous 4 P's, the product, everyone would be the same.
And so where does communication come into this?
Correct.
Is it communication
exactly
with the customer?
Exactly, exactly. What happened today? So today, most of the companies are in a very good technological progress. Most of them, they are trying always to offer almost the same. So there are not so real differences between products today, to be honest. So what makes sometimes different companies one to the other is the communication from the people. So the sales guys or the companies itself, as soon as they are able to make a real different message in the communication, should remain in your brain.
So give me an example of some companies that in your, as far as you're concerned, do this really well.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that, for example, I could make two examples in the B2C and the B2B, in order to be much more recognizable for the people, right? In the business to business, in my day to day, for example, there are companies that I am approaching companies, for example, I am selling to the healthcare or the food industry, and sometimes they are asking me about that. What's your offer? What's your products? What's your major scope that you can offer to me? And it's not so different from others. And then we are always trying to approach to the final customer based on the pain. I mentioned that word before because for us it's a really good word to use. The word pain, the word problem. We are trying to know what's the problem of the people who we are talking about. Yeah? Because behind a company, there is always a guy, maybe in purchasing department, maybe in the lab department, maybe in logistics or in the financial department, that at the end of the day is a person that he has a problem itself that he wants to be solved. If I am trying to realize, to recognize that, so more than prepare my offer to my product is, my company is, I am able to do it. No, I will try to know what's your main problem.
So you're saying you guys are a company that does marketing very well.
Exactly. And then we are trying to change the concept to sell something to be a solution solver, trying to solve your problem, because we know that if we solve your problem, we will try to engage you from other sources, that should be leveraging your solution internally in your company, and you will feel personally much better than it was before.
You're feeling a need.
Exactly.
What about more commercial companies? So, for example, Coca-Cola, Nike. Yeah. Is there one that stands out in your mind as saying those guys have it right?
Yeah. For example, in those companies today, I would say that today most of them, they are trying to approach in the same sensitivity, trying to be much more personalized. You know that most of the companies, like you mentioned today, Coca-Cola or even Nike, they are trying to personalize their products based on their final consumer needs. You know that most of them also, for example, you can also personalize your shoes, you can also personalize your dress. That should be only for you, only fighting for you. So what's the final target for those companies? They are trying to make you unique, trying to sell you, trying to approach you. And the message is that I am talking to you. I am trying to be in your respect. For example, you know that one of the important topics in marketing is innovation, of course, right? And then it's a very, very well-known word that everybody is talking about innovation. But we have been a certain pace moving forward of this innovation. And one of the most important roles today in innovation is the co-creation. It started to be a much more common
co-creation.
Exactly. Co-creation means that the company is trying to take your hand and ask you, what would you like from your product that you're buying from me to be much more personalized?
So please, they're getting input from the user side.
Exactly. I would like to have shoes with such a cut color, with this kind of textile, or that is especially for me. And if as soon as they are able to provide you this personalized product, you feel, as I mentioned,
so
unique.
Give me the name of a company that you think that you respect in this regard. Is there one that stands out?
I would say that in the commercial life, there are many, many different companies today using that. For example, Coca-Cola, I would say, is one of the good examples on this. I know that there are, of course, there are certain, it's a big multinational, but they have been, for me, Coca-Cola is a good one, because that message that is today applied with many others, Coca-Cola did in the many, many years ago.
What is their message? I feel like they've changed it a bunch of times, or is it,
yeah,
but, wasn't, isn't it loving
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
or
no,
is that
but,
McDonald's?
No, but the case of Coca-Cola, they have been since years ago, at least when I was a child, I remember that one of the key points that they tried to put you in fight is that you feel part of them, that in every commercial, in everything, because at the end of the day they are selling beverage, so it's nothing more than that. So but trying to involve people, trying to be in a much more respectful world, trying to respect to the others, that's also very important. They were always trying to give that message in the commercials and everything, so it was a good point. But also from this big company, this Coca-Cola, until a medium company, for example, I am talking about a company that, for example, the last commercial that I see yesterday, for example, it was from a coffee. I am nothing but that company, but it was a commercial that it was very good, a very good one as well, using the same concept. It was from this coffee's brand name in Spain called Marcilla. Maybe you know that.
No.
So, maybe I don't know if I can mention the name or not, but maybe it's correct. But I doubt those commercials from that company are always trying to link the family message behind. No, it's always trying to use the children of the family that they are outside the country. They are coming here for Christmas. It was recently done for the last Christmas this year, and then they are trying to support people who is standing abroad in order to help them to come back to see his family. So he's always trying to have this message much more personalized, trying to personalize the message.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think nowadays people want a more personalized, customized message? People say that we're living in the age of the millennials, ages between, I think, 25 to 31. I'm 32, so I always take myself out of that bracket. I don't know why. But they say that millennials feel very entitled. So whenever they go anywhere, if it's a hotel, they need Wi-Fi. They need to have everything at their fingertips in a second. Do you think that that has something to do with why, marketing is more personalized and customized today, that we're feeling entitled, like it should be like this? Or is there another motivation?
I have, you are 32, I am 52, so I have 20 years more. And
you
then,
look 40.
And then maybe I'm not so engaged with this guy. But also it links with part of our today word. When we talk about communication, and in fact, if we went to the basic definition of communication, communication is exchange of feelings at the end of the day. Yeah? And then people is always said, from the basic point of view, you can have oral communication or writing communication. But it is always said, and it is always recognized, it is much more useful, the oral communications, the face-to-face. Because even in the face-to-face communication, you have the verbal part and the non-verbal part, the body language. Exactly. So everything that is linked with today's, the media, the social activities, the social groups, internet, online, or whatsoever, they are trying to miss this part of the verbal, the face-to-face. And then I am doubtful that it should be a good one. So, of course, I'm perfectly aware that is the day-to-day life, that we have to be in this online, in this internet world. But at the end of the day, there are always people behind. And when one company is forwarding the message based on this personal behavior, trying to link your emotions, and your emotional part is much more effective if you are in a face-to-face, in an oral communication, than in a writing communication.
So you'd say we're driven in a way by our emotions. So
yeah,
if our emotions are being targeted, we're more likely
correctly,
to follow
correctly.
That.
And in fact, the emotions, because, also there are people who is really good in terms of to manage the writing communications, in email or in messages or whatever. But the emotions at the end, it seems that the final goal is to be face to face. I met in the courses that I pay in the university, for example, about communications, because also we talk about this topic. And then I met many people who is really brilliant writing emails or writing many things, but when they are in front of the people that they are trying to give the message, they are completely blocked. And the people, they feel, come on, you send me an email saying that and then expressing your fantastic messages.
That happens a lot. You're right. Why do you think that is, though?
I think because at the end of the day,
he's trying to,
as we mentioned initially today, he's trying to be protective. So as soon as you are trying to put your emotions on the table in front of the others, that at the end of the day is the goal. Because even if you are in the normal day-to-day communication, in a personal point of view, if you meet someone that maybe you feel interesting, that you like it, that person, at the end, you should have a face-to-face communication. You should meet in a verbal to see what's going on. If it was only based on emails or based on SMS or based on WhatsApp or based on, at the end, you never know what's the people behind. And people feel much more comfortable if they are protected.
It's very true. It's a lot easier
to send
a message.
But the mobile was one that instead to be face-to-face.
So do you think, and you can answer this question after we go to a song to let you think about it, but do you think that with all this technology, and we did a show about technology a couple of weeks ago and just how it's expanding incredibly fast, that, with all this SMS, not face-to-face interactions, that is impeding the next generation?
I think so. That I agree with this. In fact, that's my opinion. So we have to run with this because it's the day-to-day, but we couldn't forget that the final goal is trying to have this kind of emotional part in the face-to-face, in the oral, and then we should be also aware of this.
All right, well, we can talk more about that right after this song.
Thank you. imagine there's no heaven.
That is Imagine by John Lennon. Xavier, that was your pick. Why do you like that song so much?
Well, in fact, I think it's also a good song involved with what we are talking about today. No, so in fact, the communication sometimes is a part of respect, and then try to make tolerance with everybody. And then this is one of the good songs for that. Trying to be respectful with the world, trying to be respectful with others, and then that should be also helping with our day-to-day communications as well.
Oh, good answer. I love how you tie it into the theme. You know, not
I try to evolve everything.
Not so many guests do that. I know, you're very marketing-focused, communications-focused, which is probably why you have been so successful in your career and are so good at what you do. We were speaking before we went to the song, and I gave you a little bit of time to think about it, about how you said face-to-face interactions are very important. And today we're always on our phones, we're sending messages, and we're sort of hiding behind these walls of messages and where you don't have to actually see the other person. And during the song, you mentioned something that I found very interesting. Mm-hmm. You said that people sometimes face-to-face get nervous talking to one another. However, there's a slight trick, which you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And then, as we mentioned before, the trick about the power of silence, that is also used in negotiations and in these kind of games. And also, in these kind of contracts, or even sometimes when we have to negotiate, even not only in the business life, also in our day-to-day life, at the end of the day, it should be a verbal, a face-to-face interaction, a face-to-face discussion. And then people, as soon as people has someone in front of them, the face of one, the people normally become nervous because you start to be the face of others, and then it should be the expression, and you feel a little bit upset about that. And then maybe sometimes you are not using your good points. And then people, one of the tricks that they are using, and then maybe you can recognize, or even the audience sometimes recognize, that people started to be, instead of to be face to face, they have to like working together. If you are working with someone in your clothes, you are never have the face in front. And then it's much more evil to say something if you have someone in your coat instead of to be in front of all.
So if I want to have a negotiation with someone, whether it's personal or professional, I should suggest to go for a walk.
For example, normally for a walk is one of the suggestions that the people is trying to do, or trying to go in a certain places. Like, for example, one of the reasons, for example, to go to have lunches together or dinners together is in order to avoid these kind of points. You know, in the table, sometimes you could be face to face, but sometimes not. And then maybe the position of the table are not to be in the face-to-face. And then in the if sometimes in the position of the table, it is a round table or it is a square table, you will not have the face in front of you. Maybe it's in your code.
Well, it seems, it's interesting. It seems sort of contradictory because you're saying face-to-face is the way to do it. And I know you mean in person.
Yeah.
But then you're saying, okay, but a way to do it face-to-face yet not face-to-face is...
It depends. It depends how protective you would like to be. For example, in negotiation, when we are talking about negotiation, sometimes one of the important parts in negotiations is to prepare the negotiations, to be prepared. And then one of the tricks that you see when you are going to play a negotiation game with a company or so on, you can easily recognize if the people is well prepared or not, if they are trying to approach these points. For example, if I like to make the negotiation face-to-face, it's because I feel much more prepared than you. And then I am trying to put you in certain troubles, if you want, in terms of business life.
What about eye contact? Because eye contact goes a long way.
Absolutely.
It's like a strong handshake, looking in someone's eyes. Is that something that
it's
helps?
Very, absolutely. So the eye contact is one of the first things that you can easily discover if the other part is well prepared or not. For example, if the other part is trying to keep the eye contact with you, trying to not to avoid, that means that he's very well prepared. That should be a difficult negotiation in a certain way. But there are plenty of people that they are trying to refuse your eye contact. And the people who is refusing your eye contact is because or they are not so well prepared or they are so shy to follow that negotiation. And then if someone is not able to follow a negotiation in those kind of, that means that in a certain moment, as soon as some strong point could raise to the table or some decision should be made in a time, that should be in a difficult position, that people. And then the people who is very well trained on negotiation, they will try to put you under risk. So, and then you can discover with the eye contact easily.
Well, so we've talked about marketing communication and negotiating, you know, during this chat. And I think negotiating is very interesting. I know with a lot of the clients that I work with as a coach, it's one of the biggest things where people say, I don't feel comfortable negotiating. So you mentioned some tips. Are there other quick tips you would give? So we talked about eye contact, face-to-face, you know, the power of silence, not negotiating against yourself. Is there anything else that you would say to someone if they're struggling with
in negotiation, you mean?
Yes, whether it's personal or professional.
Yeah, exactly. Well, negotiation so, for example, I think a topic that also should be also raised, because I think it's important, negotiation in a certain way or another is like a conflict, I would say. No? People, they feel the negotiation sometimes as a conflict. And then conflict meaning that maybe in the negotiation I am trying to pursue something that you are maybe in the other way around. So you were, as I mentioned before, if I am trying to sell something, I'm trying to sell at a much price or whatsoever. And from your case, you are trying to buy at a lower price. But even the day-to-day life, in our personal life, if we have negotiation with someone, you are trying to take something that maybe the other is taking another completely different from inside. So in a certain way, it's like a conflict. And then people sometimes they try to refuse to go in a conflict. And for me, it's a real mistake. So the conflict will be always there. So the best way is try to change. Instead of to avoid the conflict or try to eliminate the conflict, try to channel it. So try to go in a prospect way. So if we realize that both parts, we are negotiating something, of course, we are. So one of the most important things, we have to be aware that both sides would like to have an agreement. That in most negotiations games, that's not the case.
So you have to express the fact that you'd like to walk away with
exactly.
Some sort of
agreement.
Exactly. So we are you're today, on the same page.
Exactly. We want to have a certain goal, a certain agreement, and both sides would like to have this agreement. I mentioned that because you mentioned now talking about companies that they are trying to do this kind of negotiation issues or whatsoever. And then sometimes when I am following certain negotiation techniques courses or things like this, I always mention the same. There are scenarios where the negotiation is not possible. For example, if you as a seller, you are approaching certain company that you are sure that most probably that company, they will never buy from you because you are not in your same level, there is no negotiation place here because they are already trying to use as information from their normal supplier. In that particular case, there is no negotiation tactic because there is no a real negotiation wish.
So you want to make sure that a negotiation is possible.
Exactly. Okay. So the negotiation should be part of your goal for both sides. Mm-hmm. As soon as this goal is already admitted by both, let's move on. Let's try to know as much as possible from the other part. Try to understand exactly what they really want. What are the key points that they need to be completed? What are the points that are okay, that should be accepted or not? Or what are the points that from the customer are not important? This kind of a structure, that means that you will have certain values, certain criteria that in a friendly negotiation you will be able to exchange. So one of the worst things that you can do in a negotiation is first not prepare such a negotiation and only talk about price. If you are only talking about price, you are only having only one variable to talk.
So you want to talk about filling the need, you want to talk about everything.
Many
that
things, exactly.
Could, and also the more prepared you are, you'll possibly find out their needs, their weaknesses,
absolutely,
what they're looking
absolutely
for. No, I think that's wonderful advice. I know that for a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of things that go into negotiating and coming back to communications, people who don't necessarily feel so comfortable communicating.
Correct.
And so what would you say, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs on the show, a lot of startups, a lot of small businesses mm-hmm who are trying to, you know, expand and become bigger. What advice would you give them in terms of being more effective communicators, which mm-hmm hopefully would lead to being more effective in marketing as well?
Yeah. Well, I think that for the medium...
Like some quick tips.
Yeah, for the medium and small companies, I would say that, the most important issue is for me is try to be very concrete in which market they are. So you know that is a typical word is talk about niche markets. Eh? The niche markets, so if you are a medium-sized company or if you are a small-sized company, try to be very concrete what are your main customers. What is your main market? And of course, if you are trying to compete in a very huge market that sometimes are approached by other companies much bigger than you, most probably you will be in a difficult position. But if you are in a small niche market, for sure that should be much more concrete in customers. And then if you are making an offer that is much more approach for that, that should be much more acceptable for the customer. So try to be very concrete in niche market. Try to be as much as possible different from others, that your offer in mix or it sounds to your customers are different. And the differentiation is not based on your product or in your service. Sometimes it's based on your people. And that's the way to link with the communications.
Going back to exactly catering to the
exactly
customer.
So the customer, maybe they will be approached for others that they are offering the same than you, but try to be different from others. And the way is, I mentioned before, try to listen. Try to understand exactly what they really need. Try to be emotional in that part, to be a personal approach to the people who is in front of them. And then from that point of view, although you are a medium-sized or even a small-sized company, you would be recognized. And then that should be one of the goals that at the end you will reach.
No, I think that's fabulous advice. And we only have a couple more minutes with you, unfortunately. I feel like there's so much to say about all of these topics. We'll have to have you back on.
Yeah.
So quickly, you know, as we wrap up today, where do you see the future of marketing? You know, we talked about how it's evolved, and I know this is probably a bigger conversation than a minute or two, but from your expertise, from your experience, where do you see the future of marketing evolving into?
Yeah, it's really a good question and very difficult to answer that, but I feel that so I mentioned before today the customer is the focus. But when I mentioned this part of co-creation and things like this, I am convinced that as soon as the companies are approaching the customers, but involve the customer in the same company, that's one of the features. So not only trying to sell and that's all, trying to be also part of your profit in case of company and also from the customer. For example, in the B2B market, is a trend that the companies they create a customer and a supplier, they create the different companies all together because the profit is for both. So that means that this co-creation means try to be much more involved, much more linked. And then in marketing consumer, I think it's the same. So in a certain way or another, we have to jump up with the companies, trying to all together build up what should be our future for that. Yeah? But who knows? Maybe in 50 years we have the same conversation and that should be another goal. Who knows? Huh?
You never know how it's going to evolve. But I think it sounds like it makes sense, you know, just being more involved. And it's all about the customer.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
It was my pleasure.
I hope you get all of your goals in 2015. And we will be back next week with English Radio. So be sure to tune in. And I wanted to thank our sponsors, Anglo Info, one more time. All you need to know for living in Barcelona in English. Thanks so much and have a great weekend.
You could be my luck, even if the sky is you what you want to see and take you where